This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk checking in with Nathan Atteridge of America's Cup Team New Zealand after day 10 of the AC40 on the water.
Yeah, we had like a good easterly today. It was, you know, meant to be in the low 20s and we hadn't really started that much wind yet. So one of the main objectives today was just to sign off from a load perspective that, you know, when the wind gets up, you know, it's got sensors on that now. So we're measuring the loads and there was no alarms going off today, which was fantastic. So yeah, we just hoisted sails out the front and started all the way up towards the back paddock. We were sort of wanting to try and find some waves today. With the wind against tide, we definitely found plenty of waves out there. And you know, for me being pretty new on the boat, it was just really interesting to see how the boat performs in those waves.
One thing I did notice going uphill, you seem today, obviously a lot more breeze, to be carrying a bit of leeward heel at times and trying to flatten. What I'm seeing is trying to flatten the boat by easing a bit of sheet on the main, twisting up even potentially, to try and get it back to level or to windward. Is that a...
Yeah, they're a unique boat, you know, trying to find the right balance in it. So we had the two on initially, which was well out of range, but we just wanted to sign it off from a geometry point of view to make sure that, you know, the one design sails were all made correct and, you know, it was perfect conditions to make sure when you go flat out on the cano and the sheet, you're not got the clue board in the jib current and things. So, and then it was too bumpy. We didn't really want to take it off in the rough stuff, so we sailed up to the flat water to take it off. But with the bigger sail up, you get lots of side force on the boat, and so then you got the foil out to leeward trying to fight those forces. So, you know, we played a lot around with some can angles and heel angles to try and, you know, get some balance in the boat. You know, the boat, I think, is pretty overpowered with the sails, and you end up with the chip or the main car, like, almost down on the stopper at times, just going upwind. So, it's a little concerning when you've got a bear away and you're already in the corner going upwind, but you know, like, you can always ease the main and twist it out. But yeah, we're just still learning the boat, just trying to learn how to sort of set it up and see how it performs.
So can you give us your best speed today?
Easy over 45 today.
Over 45, I mean, yeah, you were gone and we were...
VMG, you're in the low 40s and, you know, when you peel through it, and we weren't trying to push it too hard in the bear away, it was making sure we keep the rudder in the water, but yeah, easy over 45 today.
And in that charge back down the harbour, we weren't in the biggest waves of the day. Did you have any moment when you thought, oh, we're gonna skip straight through this trough and put air around the foil?
That's actually really interesting, sitting on the leeward side watching the foil, and you know, you're a passenger almost at that point, but on to leeward, I'm just watching the foil going in and out, and it's impressive how quickly it reattaches. And some of the troughs are, you know, over a metre long. So you're easily getting half your wing out of the water.
Thank you, Nathan. This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk.
All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, and it's 9:40 on a Tuesday. That's the time we check in with Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com, and she always co-hosts this segment with me. We're waiting on our guest, Don Riley. Karen, can you give us an update about your sailing exploits of late?
Well, I guess I was just sailing a couple days ago on a J24, which is a 24-foot racing boat, but it's also used for training people on U.S. sailing certification for basic keelboat and basic cruising. And it's a fun little boat. It responds really fast. It has a tiller. And, yeah, the wind was probably somewhere around 8 to 10 knots, which was a pleasant day out there on the San Francisco Bay.
So for you, honestly, how far could you go solo? If I gave you the boat you wanted with all the supplies, all the equipment, all the technology, could you go to past the Farallons? Could you go to Hawaii? Could you go to Tahiti or Korea?
For me, I don't like to go solo. I like to go double-handed with another crew.
Oh, I'm not asking you what you like. I'm asking you how far you can get, girl.
How far I can get? Well, mm-hmm. I probably could go out to the Farallons and back. I don't know that I would risk any, but that's actually quite a challenging trip. I've been out to the Farallons twice, mm-hmm. and it depends upon whether you have wind. Now, say if I was in a boat The problem with something like a small boat, like a G24, is that it's got an outboard motor. And so if you're in any kind of chop, then the motor, the prop is right out of the water, and you're not able to, you know, steer or propel yourself if you were in a situation with no wind. If you have an inboard motor, then you can motor when there's no wind. But I personally wouldn't be caught outside the gate with without an inboard motor, because it would just be really dangerous. And it can be pretty choppy in the summertime, you know, in the bay. You can get 3 to 4 foot chop. So you've got to have your protection in place, which is knowing that you can get out of the way of one of these, you know, tankers or cargo ships that are out there in the ocean or coming through the channels if you're on a sailboat. So it can be pretty dangerous with just sails alone.
If you, I'm going to keep going with this till we get done. If you were solo, would you bring? Because we've talked to sailors before over the years that have brought a dog, you know, books, cooking. You know, like what would you do to sort of bide the time when you were by yourself out there?
Well, first of all, if I was going solo, I would be in a boat that was probably take my boat, which is a 36-foot sloop. And you want to have autopilot, because if you're solo, you're not going to be, there's going to be times when you have to leave the helm. And so you want to have autopilot, or at least a way of manually controlling the, you know, I mean, some type of autopilot to allow you to have the leisure to do something. Really, the only time I think that I would probably be reading a book is if I was, you know, in no wind and not progressing forward. You know, it's pretty demanding to be able to pay attention, and you can't pay attention for 24 hours. You still got to sleep. This is one of the reasons why it doesn't appeal to me so much to go single-handed, is because you've got to usually sleep 2 or 3 hours at a time and then wake up, because you can't just, you know, be out there without paying attention all the time. It's just, I frankly, Rick, I don't understand the single-handing. I think I like double-handing better, as I said, but this is what you would have to do if you were single-handing. You have to sleep on and off and be sleep deprived a lot.
Would you kind of liken it to drinking alone, like it's no fun to drink by yourself?
Well, I don't know that it isn't any fun to drink by yourself. Depends upon the food and the wine.
So do you have a Cascade, an Islander, a Swan, a Rustler, a Biscay, a Columbia?
I actually have a Hunter Vision 36. So if you know, most sloops, which is the style of rig of a sailboat, that has a main and a jib, basically have, they have shrouds, which are steel cables that attach to either side of the mast that hold the mast up. But this particular design was one that there were 400 boats made like this in the early 90s, and it has no shroud, so it doesn't have anything to hold the mast up. It just has an aluminum mast. It's very wide at the base, and it's, they call it steeped into the keel, which means it you know, the mast goes all the way through the cabin down into the keel, which is the bottom part of the hull of the boat, right where the little fin goes out to the water to stabilize you when you're under sail. And then it's very narrow at the top, so, and it actually bends. So when you go into the wind and the winds are high, the top will bend a little bit, and it will spill some of the wind out of the sail to keep it more balanced. It's actually an awesome rig to sail, and especially downwind, because you don't have the shroud stopping you from being able to let the main sheet out more. So you can do something called sail wing on wing, which means you can have the jib sail, which is the front sail, a little bit to the left, and the mainsail to the right, with the wind coming behind. Because you're just on a run, the wind's just right straight behind the boat, a little bit to the leeward, and you're basically sailing with the two sails in opposite directions. It's a lot of fun.
Very interesting. You know, I'm just, as you were talking, I looked at the Hunter Vision 36. I'm looking in the cabin, opulent. You got the seats facing each other, the island, the little table in the middle. You got a full stove, and way up there in the bow, it looks like a bedroom. Very nice.
You know, I actually, I was over at the St. Francis Yacht Club guest dock just spending the night, like I think it was one Christmas, and there were these eight young men who were up from Texas, and they were down near the dock, and we were chatting, and they said, "Can we come see your boat?" And so I said, "Sure." So I took them all down, and I seated them around that table, and all eight of them fit, plus me, you know?
Wow.
I mean, it was a little crowded. We were squished a bit, you know, but, you know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, this is a cruising boat, so comfort is actually important to me. We have two cabins, and so my brother usually is in the forward cabin. I'm in the aft cabin, which is called the owner's cabin in that boat, which means it's a little bigger and more opulent, and I can stand up, and there's 6'3" headroom. There'd be room for you in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm 6'2", yeah.
You wouldn't have to stoop.
So I wouldn't have to stoop in the sloop.
That's right. You got the rhythm of it now. You're going.
There we go.
You on that sailboat yet.
So the master bedroom is the stern then?
It depends. It depends on the boat. So in this particular case, the stern cabin is larger. Usually in a sloop because you've got the pointy end, which is the bow, right? It comes to a point, the forward cabin, or the V berth as they call it, is kind of in the shape of a V. So your feet are usually towards the pointy end, and your head is more towards the center of the cabin. There's still enough room for, I mean, my brother's 6'2" also, so he's the same height as you. And, you know, he can stretch out. And I mean, two people could sleep in there, but I really think it's more comfortable for one. I mean, I'm into comfort with sailing, I have to admit.
So is it like a little step-in bath shower type of thing?
There is one. I mean, you know, having sailed in the BDI in the catamaran, you know, 45-foot catamaran or something like that, now that's a shower, you know. In the owner's cabin, if you've got one, an owner's cabin, usually, excuse me, the last one I think we had a 40-foot, and the right-hand side, which would be called the starboard side, the owner's cabin filled the whole hull. And so there was a shower that was big enough that you could stretch your arms out on either side before you touch the wall of the shower, and you've got a proper shower head, and you can stand there. In my boat, the shower is actually just right. The shower head's right to the left of the toilet. So you actually just close the head and make it into a shower, and then, you know, everything's a little bit wet, and you just, you know, drink towel. Like, if it's hot, you know, have to towel it off. It just dries up. But, you know, actually humidity can be an issue when you're traveling on long trips.
Now, up on the bridge, or as my dad used to say on the carrier, the con, you got that big helm. So what's your visibility at the helm when you're up there?
Well, just to describe for people who you know, to visualize this since we're on the radio, in this particular boat, I have a wheel. So the wheel drives like a car. You know, you turn the wheel to the right, it goes to the boat, the front of the boat goes to the right. You turn the wheel to the left, the front of the boat goes to the left. Now, on a smaller boat like the J-24 I was sailing on this week, you have a tiller where you actually push the tiller the opposite direction to get the same effect. So when you go from a smaller boat to a boat that has a wheel, there can be something called tiller confusion, which you don't remember which way to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
And so in J-24, you don't have something called a dodger, which is a shield, so that the water splashes, you know, onto the cockpit. It you know, keeps you rather dry and a little wind protection. But on my boat, I have something called a dodger, which is, and this is a hard top dodger, and it has little windows in it, which are kind of like a type of see-through plastic that kind of clips, you know, slides into place and stays there. So I can see out through that, and I can also see above it in between the dodger and the boom. So the visibility for me is pretty clear. But I have been on some boats where I really have to position myself carefully so that I can see outside the dodger, because maybe it falls right in my line sight when I'm standing, or I might stand or actually elevate myself with something under my seat. like a cushion or something, because really you've got to have the sight line just right. And if you're in a situation like I was in BVI when we had that thunder and lightning storm I told you about, and the water was just coming down like sheets of rain, you know, the visibility was very poor on the catamaran because, and I had to, I basically opened up the window so that there was no effect of a Dodger at all, so that I could just see through the rain best I could. And there you just have to, you know, hope for the best, right?
I'm just looking, average price for 136 is about $74,000, worth every penny, right?
Well, I don't know if we're talking about, but see, we would call that 74 boat units in sailing. It's $1,000 is a boat unit, which for someone like myself,
I never knew
actually,
that.
That's a little bit more, you know, I mean, it's like a nice car, right? You know,
I think that's fantastic. And by the way, Karen, who needs a guest? I was very, very titillated this whole segment.
Well, that's your last name, right? Isn't it?
Exactly.
Titillating Rick, right?
Titillating sports, titillating. Hey, so everybody go to sailsporttalk.com. Karen, you carried the segment. As I said, who needs a guest? Thank you, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Byline.